this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the weekend edition of Live the Promise. Really honored to be doing this journey with you. Well, in just a moment, you'll hear my conversation with author Emily Freeman. She had some great things to say about finding God in the mundane, everyday, simple moments of life. You know, he's not only interested in what happens during those powerful worship services, Sunday morning prayers, but he's interested in every aspect of life, including those moments where you're changing the diapers or paying the bills or just getting up every day to go to work. Well, Emily had some wonderful things to say about that, and I think it'll breathe some fresh wind into your sails. Got a really quick announcement first, one that I'm very excited about. The Your Sacred Yes online Bible study starts Monday. Sign up for free on our website. It's a six-week study. We want to do this thing together. Check it out on our website, myfaithradio.com. Go to the Live the Promise show page. You'll find the banner at the top of the page. Sign up so you can join us coming up this Monday. If you're tired of the rat race and you want to step into the sacred race, this study is for you. Super excited about it. Go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Get to the Live the Promise show page. You'll find it right there. So here's my question for you to ponder as First Hour unfolds. How do you find time to rest and refocus on Jesus when your day fills up? So when you get in the hustle bustle, you feel it in your soul. It's like it ties up in knots. What do you do to hit the brakes, to pause and remember again that He is God? How do you stop your striving and know that He is God? For me, I look out the window sometimes, or put on a song, or I'll just take a deep breath and pray. What about you? I'd love to know. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Emily Freeman is the author of Grace for the Good Girl, Graceful in a Million Little Ways. She also blogs at Chatting at the Sky and Hopeology, and contributes to Dayspring's Encourage blog site. She and her husband live in North Carolina with their three children. You can find her influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Emily, welcome back to the program.
It is so great to be with you, Susie. Thank you.
Well, you are a definite fellow sister, and I think we walk such similar paths, and I appreciate your heart, and I told you before the show, really appreciate your gift of writing. You're a beautiful writer. Can't wait to dig into the content of this new book. But Emily, as you know, we love to start out our conversations talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just a verse you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
You know, over the past year or two, one verse, it's so obscure in the Old Testament, but one verse that has meant so much to me is found in Zechariah 4:10, and it simply says this: "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin."
Talk more about that.
I tell you what, that verse is, you know, it's hidden kind of in this book of prophecy that a lot of it doesn't make very much sense, honestly. If you try to read it, it makes sense, but it's like, I need a commentary for that. But it was during a time when they were trying to rebuild the temple, and a lot of people didn't think they should, but they started. And in my mind, when I hear that verse as a believer, I think about, do not despise the small beginnings. And that part, I'm like, yes, the Lord delights to see the work begin. Small beginnings are great. But I think in the back of my mind, one of the reasons why for so long I loved that verse at first was because I imagined small beginnings, yes. And then secretly I thought, and eventually these small beginnings are going to lead to a great ending. Like even in the temple building, we know they did rebuild the temple, but when you look at history, we also know it was destroyed again. And so when I think about my real life, I think about sometimes things begin small, but oftentimes they also end small. And I think the Lord delights to see the work begin, even if the endings are no bigger than the beginnings were. And that's sometimes a hard truth to swallow, but it's also a great relief because I'm learning how Christ is in all of it, the small beginnings, the small endings, the small beginnings, the big endings. that it's, he doesn't measure things the same way the world does. And for me, that's been a great relief.
Indeed. And you know what? It takes humility to find joy. And, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. And the temptation so much when you have a big ending is to make it about you. I mean, truly, how much can he bless us before we make it about us? And I think it takes great humility to find your space and to fill it and to offer it back up to God, don't you?
I do think it does, and it's hard. I tell you what, Susie, I feel like every day I'm confronted with the pain of my own smallness. You know, sometimes we see, you don't really hear a lot about, what we hear is more, you know, grow your influence and climb the corporate ladder, or, you know, if so-and-so amount of people showed up to your thing that you're having, a Bible study, if it's a small amount, you might think maybe it wasn't as successful as maybe someone you know who had a large amount of people. It's just always, everything seems measured, and sometimes we do it subconsciously, but I'm learning that the way I measure things and the way God measures things in his kingdom is very, very different.
Indeed, which brings us to Simply Tuesday, which is just a great title, by the way. Subtitle is Small Moment Living in a Fast-Moving World. And we have three copies to give away. If you're somebody who maybe you've been thrust into obscurity and you feel like this is a punishment of the Lord when really it's preparation, it's God refining and deepening your character, or maybe you've just been in the hustle. You've been held hostage by the hustle, as Emily says, and you need this book. I want you to chime in, ask Emily a question. Maybe we can stand and pray with you if you want to tell us what's going on with you today. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. If email is easier, it's easy to do, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Okay, as a fellow author, I know it's like God has to do something in me before he can write it through me. I want to know how the idea for Simply Tuesday came to you and how you knew this needed to go into a book.
Well, you know, this book is something that I knew I was going to write. I just wasn't sure. It was part of a two-book deal, and it was the second book. So I knew the first book, but the second book was sort of, I signed that contract by faith, which, as you know, can be kind of scary. But so as I prayed and thought through and just paid attention to my regular life, I realized this theme of Tuesday has been a part of my writing and my real life for many years. In college, one of my favorite singer-songwriters was a woman named Sarah Mason, and she had a song called Tuesday. And so I would play that song on repeat in my college dorm room over and over again. And part of the lyric was, Tuesday after a reckless and used day, I was running and running without a chance to stop and chat at the sky. And I think so many of us can relate with that feeling of running and running, hustle and bustle, without a chance to stop. And I think it usually is during our week, like a Tuesday. If you think about Tuesday, your regular life, if you want to see what's happening in your real life, just look at your Tuesday. That's sort of when we're not really paying attention to the day necessarily. We're just kind of trying to get through the to-do list. At least that tends to be how my Tuesdays go. But years ago, when my husband was actually a youth pastor for 12 years, and so Sundays for our family was a work day. And so really, I needed to look to another day of the week to sort of be more of a Sabbath kind of a rest day, and I chose Tuesday. And so for years, I just sort of gave myself permission to pay more close attention on Tuesdays, and it ended up spilling over into the other days of the week. And so that's why the day of Tuesday. I mean, if you think about the week, every other day, kind of, even Monday has like, here we go, it's Monday. It's like a beginning, sort of a commencement of the week, and Wednesday's the middle, Friday's the weekend. So every other day kind of has a thing. But Tuesday's just kind of, you know, it's just a regular, ordinary day. And so that has been what I started to circle around and really settle into. Where is he showing up? Not maybe in the big moments of my life, maybe not even in the things that I'm looking towards or praying about, but maybe in those things that I'm overlooking. But those moments, the ones that I find on my Tuesdays, are actually the moments that make up my regular life. That's where I spend most of my time. And so why not write a whole book about learning to discover Christ in those everyday, ordinary, small moments?
I love it. You know, also Tuesday reminds me of the second mile of a journey. You know, the newness wears off, and there takes some endurance and some perseverance and some awareness. But I even think self-talk, because you can really get into self-doubt in that place and lose sight of of whatever it is God's given you to do. And boy, we got Alex checking in from St. Paul, and he would like to chat today. I think it's a he, but maybe not. Alex, welcome.
Yes.
You're a he. or you've got a very low voice. I'm so glad you called in. What do you want to say today?
Well, hey, great topic. And I'm entering into kind of a busy season with church. I'm involved with the music ministry. I'm starting up a ministry soon, and I'm wondering between the responsibilities at home with the studio and work and everything else, I guess I'm struggling with what to pick and choose. Should I stop doing the music ministry and everyone's rallying, say, no, no, don't do that. Then again, they kind of need someone to do these ventriloquist ministries for youth, and I kind of want to get involved in that. I guess I qualify for some counsel here, lady.
All right, Emily, take it.
Oh, man, I don't know if I have good counsel, but I will say this. I think so many of us can relate, Alex, with the feeling like we have so much on our plate. And we know that every yes comes with an automatic no. And the other way around is true, too. Every no, sometimes it comes with a yes. And so the trick is to begin to look at our lives and pick our yeses and know that the no's that come along with that are ones that we can live with. And so one thing that helps me, and this may or may not be useful to you, and maybe you already do this, but one thing that really helps me just to get clarity sometimes is to take some time of, I know we talk about prayer and reading the Bible, and of course, but sometimes even before I dig into scripture or even before I whisper a word to the Lord, it helps me to just sit in silence and just be still with my thoughts and with my desires. Sometimes I have to take a little bit of time, and I even set my iPhone timer, y'all, for like 5 minutes, just to sit in silence in the presence of the Lord without an agenda and simply be with him like a child and see what he might have to say. And a lot of times my truest desire rises to the surface during those 5 minutes of silence in a way that looking at my schedule or asking for advice or trying to figure out which ones I should do, that the space and the silence that my soul so desperately needs, sometimes answers rise up to the surface that I didn't expect. I don't know if that will be helpful, but I definitely feel for you in this time of busyness. I know that it's approaching for so many of us, which is one reason why we need that those moments of quiet even more.
And Alex, I'd love to chime in too. One thing my mentor always says is, if you don't have a capital yes, then you need to make it a no, because it's the need doesn't dictate the call. And even if your giftings fit in there, that's not always exactly an indicator that that's what God wants you to do. And so I always say it's the difference between obligation and invitation. So I echo what Emily says, sit with the Lord, wait on him, and get a sense of what he's inviting you to. Because what he invites you to, he gives you grace to sustain that commitment. We'll get you a copy of Emily's book, Simply Tuesday. We also have an extra copy of my book, Your Sacred Yes, which is very much about this. Just came out in June. And so we'll get you both of those. So make sure you give Grace your address, Alex. But thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Thank you both. That was wonderful.
Yeah. God bless you, sir. We need to take a short break. I see another call coming in. If you want to chime in, tell us how you celebrate those small moments, or you need maybe just advice on how to do that, and so you're not held hostage by the hustle. I love that phrase. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. We're going to talk about having that small moment awareness, seeing God in the small places of your life, that he's with you in obscurity. He's with you. He's ever present. Don't go away. More with Emily Freeman in a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Honored to have Emily Freeman on the show today. She's got a brand new book titled Simply Tuesday, Small Moment Living in a Fast-Moving World. And she talks about being held hostage by the hustle, where we rush and we're always looking for bigger, better. We're such a results-driven society that we lose sight of the sacredness of the moments, really those hidden moments where maybe nobody else sees us, but God does, and he's with us. And not to despise the days of small beginnings, as Scripture says. And here's a quote, Emily, from your introduction that I'd love for you to comment on. You write, "You already know that life is sacred. You know the moments count. You know that most of the tasks on your to-do list aren't all that important in the scheme of things. And yet, The constant buzzing inside your soul won't seem to quit. That tight spot between your shoulders won't smooth out. You know you need to slow and savor, but you're waiting until you finish this project or have that conversation or meet those people or achieve that success or finalize those decisions or get these things organized. Emily, say more about how our focus shifts to the rat race, the hustle, and to the point where it's to our own detriment, the detriment of our own soul.
You know, I am 38 years old. I've been married to my husband, John, for 14 years, and we have three kids. I've written four books, and I know the allure of hustle. But I tell you what, Susie, in this work, and I would imagine that most jobs are like this, that in this work, I have become, I have learned to become efficient, but I have become suspicious of my own ambition. And part of that is because it is really hard to hold both being a child of Jesus and longing to climb a ladder in the same breath. It's hard to reconcile my desire for attention and my desire for success with the downward way of Christ. And so I think that those two things, what's good for my schedule, productivity and checking things off my list, is often suffocating for my soul. And so I think so many of us live on, we're walking that tension every day of living our lives and getting work done as responsible grown-ups and parents and friends that we need to do, because you can't ignore your responsibilities. But how do we do that in a way that we're not desperately trying to build our lives and ignoring the life that Christ is building within us? I think the reason why it's so hard is because the kingdom of God is invisible, and the work that he does we can't see. And it's in our nature to point out the things we can see. That's why faith is so difficult, right? Because it's believing in something that we can't see, but we do see evidence of, but sometimes it's harder to look for. And so I think that's why. I think it's because it's invisible. But I tell you what, I love finding artists and writers and people who point the way to the kingdom, who remind me of things that I know. Sometimes I'll be listening to the radio, or I'll listen to some music or a song, and I hear, it's almost like you get a hint of the kingdom of God. And in that moment, you think, oh, that's what true life is. That's my real focus. And I want to hang on to those moments, and I want to pay attention to those people and those that artwork and those books that really point me to the kingdom. And I think we need those reminders every day. And that's part of why Tuesday for me is so important, is because Tuesday comes around every single week. And so it's a weekly reminder that Jesus is here, not just in the big moments, but he's here in the ordinary moments, and not just the beautiful ordinary moments, but in the hard ordinary moments, the ones that maybe I would rather ignore.
Don't you think, Emily, that we would work from a different place if in our core we understood this on a deeper level? Because as you're talking, I'm thinking of when Jesus said, you know, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life, you'll find it and save it. I think you could even interchange if you try to build your life. I mean, we are, again, it's so results oriented. We are immersed in a culture looking for its 5 minutes of fame, no matter what the cost, no matter what we're famous for. I mean, it's on all gears, all cylinders. And so as Christians, to pull back and say, I'm not what I do, I'm someone he loves. And getting that set in our core, I feel like we would work from a totally different place, because as you say, we'd still steward our opportunities, we would work hard, we'd rest well, but we wouldn't have anything to prove. We'd be living in response to his love and not reaction to all our stuff, you know?
I think it's so true. And it comes up in the weirdest ways. Like sometimes, Susie, I'll be scrolling through Instagram, right? And I will see something that someone has done or is doing, and I'll be having a great day or a normal day, but I'll see something on Instagram that I feel left out of, or I feel like maybe someone is doing something that I wish they were doing, or they are launching something that I thought about launching but haven't done yet. It can be any number of things. But what happens in that moment is like I immediately feel this competitive feeling that comes up, and I think everybody can maybe relate to that, mm-hmm. where you sort of realize immediately, as soon as I'm competing with you, I can no longer connect with you. Because if we're competing, we're both facing the same direction, and we're going to try to get to that finish line. If I'm competing with you, then I'm not looking at you, but to connect with you, I have to stop running the race, turn my body to face you, look you in the eye, and connect. And that means the race is over. And that's a choice. And that's a choice that I have that happens sort of on an invisible level, but it really makes a difference in my everyday life.
Oh, you've put that so well, and I'm sure everybody can relate. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Tom's checking in from Fargo, North Dakota. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie.
How are you?
I was just telling Grace, I was thinking how what your guest is saying and how my wife and I are on a, we feel a reset. We were quite harried for a long time, and he's brought us to Fargo, and we feel we're on a reset, and just recharging our batteries. We wanted to get going in something right away. God didn't say no. It's just we felt this again last Sunday, and we were standing in our church, and it was just it was so wonderful to just worship and worship God. And but we felt we were in a reset time to just step back, take time, breathe, get into God more, and just rest.
Love it.
Because something else is coming along.
That's right.
So it's like pushing a button on a piece of machinery. It resets. It will start again. It's going to rest for a little while.
Emily, thanks, Tom, for that. What do you want to say to Tom, Emily?
I love that. The gift of the reset. Don't we all need that? It's kind of like sometimes I have to shut my computer down in order to, because it's like acting wonky. And I shut it down, but when you restart it, it's like everything is fresh and working well. I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Tom, you get a copy of Emily's book. You and your wife can read it during this season of reset and restoration. And you're right. I just really believe that when God leads us into those seasons by still waters, it's because, as you say, there's something up ahead and you need some replenishment for it. So you're going to enjoy this book, read it together, and have a great time with it, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Susie.
Good call. 877-933-2484. Emily, we've got to take a break in about 1 minute, but I would love for you just to say more about what it means to celebrate your smallness. And none of us likes to be overlooked. None of us likes to feel like we're on the outside of the circle, so to speak, but we all do at one point or another. There's only one person that's usually in the center of the circle. The rest of us aren't in there. So we always feel outside, but you say that's a place we can celebrate.
It's such a place to celebrate. I was in a time of overwhelm when a friend told me, celebrate your smallness. And at the time, it sounded so foreign, like, you're crazy. I want to be bigger. I want to be able to see the big picture of my life. But when he invited me to celebrate my smallness, I can't explain it, but in that moment, I had such a sense of relief, and I realized I want to explore more about what that looks like.
Love this. Having a great conversation with Emily Freeman, great writer. Title of her book is Simply Tuesday, Small Moment Living in a Fast-Moving World. I believe we have one copy left. If you want to chime into the conversation, now is the time. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Here's another question for you to think about as this conversation unfolds. Have you ever had a time where you were overlooked, where you felt left out, but in that moment you experienced something of God that was far better than what you were looking for? If you'd have been included, God is with you in those small places. You are never out of his care. Don't go away. More with Emily Freeman in a moment.
God, be still.
Hope you're able to do that today, to stop the striving and know that God is better than anything you're striving for. He is your greatest desire, and you are the object of his affection. He loves you. And you know what? We strive and strive for name and for fame, and yet God's already sold on the idea of us. And wouldn't it be amazing to live our whole lives in response to his love rather than in reaction to the culture? Well, Emily Freeman joins me today. Title of her book is Simply Tuesday, Small Moment Living in a Fast-Moving World. Emily, I want to read this quote from your book and take it point by point, because you say so much in this one paragraph, and I know our friends listening today are going to really identify with what you're saying. You said, while I may have a lot left yet to learn, one thing I know for sure is the language of the game. the pull to comparison and competition, the feeling that the work I do is never quite enough. I know the pain of inefficiency, the addiction of ambition, the longing to build something important, and the disappointment that comes when the outcome looks different than I thought. And so let's take these one by one. And if you don't even mind sharing something from your own life, if you feel comfortable, but otherwise just unpack the point. But the first one is comparison and competition. If there's a joy stealer in front of us that's constant and continual, it's this comparison and competition. Talk about that.
I tell you what, Susie, sometimes I recognize that in myself. If I walk into a room filled with people, especially women, I notice in myself if I'm feeling competitive or in a comparing place, the first thought in my mind is not what is God thinking of them, but it's what are they thinking of me? And when I'm asking myself more often the question, what are they thinking of me, rather than what is God thinking of them, or even what is God thinking of me, that's when I know my soul needs a little bit of decluttering. And the only way I've found to do that is to sit in the presence of God without an agenda for some silence and some solitude, and to remind myself and to remember that I am not a reputation machine. I am not an outcome manager. I do not have to determine what you think of me. That is not my highest goal. But when left to myself, sort of like my default is I want to make sure that your opinion of me is favorable, and I'll do everything I can in order to make that happen. And that is an exhausting way to live.
And it's a trap and a snare, Scripture says. You know, fear of man is a trap and a snare. And I just love how clear you are about that as far as just the way you articulate that, because you're really speaking to the hearts of so many. How about the work you do is never quite enough? I mean, if that's another thing, if the enemy uses one thing, it's that. It's that not enough, not enough, not enough. And it drives us into the ground. So talk to us about that one.
You know, my dad always used to tell me, and I never understood it, but I do now, he used to say, just stay in your corner of the pool. And I used to think, like, what are you talking about? I'm not a lifeguard. But it wasn't until I showed up at one of those indoor water parks that my kids love and I do not love because they're stinky and hot and gross. But the kids love it. And one day I was at one of these indoor water parks, and I was trying to be the kind of mom who was involved with the kids, but I got bored of that. So I ended up sitting on a lawn chair, and I watched as the lifeguards, I was mesmerized by these lifeguards who would pace the side of the pool. There were probably 10 around the edge of this one pool I was watching, and they didn't sit up in a chair and kind of, you know, have the whistle hanging halfway out their mouth. No, no. They were on their feet. They had their eyes on the water. But what they did the whole time was they paced back and forth an 8-foot length of their part of the pool. And they kept their eyes right there. And I was so impressed by that because I thought they are on it. I mean, I feel so safe with my kids in that pool because those lifeguards are watching their part of the pool. But what happens sometimes for me, Susie, and I think for a lot of people, is we start to try to watch the whole pool at once, and we forget our 8-foot assignment. And so instead of just keeping my eyes on my 8-foot assignment, this is what has been given to me, this is my small piece, whether it's for some it might be a large piece, but whatever it is, someone else always has more. There's always more you could be looking at. When I start to look at the whole pool rather than my 8-foot assignment, that's when I start to become overwhelmed and feel like the work I do is never quite enough. And so Dad's words to me, just stay in your corner of the pool, that has been so meaningful for me and been such a gift to me on the level of my soul, because I've realized that Jesus is with me and he gives me the part he has for me, not the part he has for someone else.
Boy, that's got to be a breath of fresh air for somebody listening today, because we just can't be all things to all people. And that is the enemy's MO against us. You're just not enough. And what that does, if we replay that in our head, is we just want to quit before we even try, because it's just never going to be enough. But all he wants is what's in our hands, and all he knows who he's getting when he gets us, and he wants to multiply what we give him. And so to keep it about that, the lot lines that he's established for you, so, so important. How about this one, the pain of inefficiency? She laughs.
Sometimes it hurts to be inefficient. Have you ever woken up on a day and, like, no matter everything you touch turns to dust? I mean, some days are like that. And I know if that happens before 7 a.m., 8 a.m., I am in big trouble. Like, this day is just going to be junk. But that happened to me on a Monday one week when I was under a writing deadline. And it was like I could not afford a day turning to dust. I had a deadline I had to meet. But it was only, it wasn't until the next day when I sat in the presence of the Lord and I felt like he sort of spoke to me, you know, in the quiet place. He sort of said, "Are you still my girl?" Yes. And he said, "Were you loved yesterday?" And my answer was, yes, I was loved. And sometimes I think I forget that my job as his child is to be his child and to be loved by God. And sometimes that feels like it's not enough because it's not productive. And I can't check anything off for that. But there are days when I need to remember that and when I need to remember that he loves me, he's with me, and he's not holding me up to some immeasurable standard of success or of accomplishment. He already held Jesus to the impossible standard, and Jesus met every standard on my behalf.
Hmm. I want to say this again. What you said is so good, and we've got Grace tweeting like crazy right now. Sometimes I feel like just being his child is not enough because it's not productive, but his love is enough. I think somebody needs to hear that today, where you maybe are addicted to what you're producing and feeling like you constantly fall short. And then you get into the berating and the self-loathing and the self-condemnation. And it is a vicious cycle that's bad for the soul. And I think that's one of the reasons, Emily, you wrote this book. You touched on this one, but I want you to say a little bit more, because here again, common issue among the human race, especially among Christians, I would say, the addiction of ambition. Maybe not especially among Christians, but in all of us. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that there is, we get rewarded for when we are successful, and we get unrewarded, sometimes punished by ourselves even when we're not. You know, I asked on Facebook about a year or so ago, what are some circumstances and situations that cause you to feel small? And people started listing out those situations and circumstances that cause them to feel small. And failure is one of them. Failure, showing up and being the only one who doesn't know what's going on, or being new. Someone even said, I think, being in a group of women made them feel small. But then something really beautiful happened. Several people asked a clarifying question. They said, "Do you mean the good kind of small or the bad kind of small?" And I thought, well, now that is something I can grab onto, because it's true that we do feel all those ways. Like, the addiction of ambition can cause us to feel, we either feel like, oh, I am being successful, therefore I am great, or I am failing, so therefore I am not great. And it's all on this teeter-totter measurement of production and performance. But when this person asked, "You mean the good kind of small, the bad kind of small?" I love that, because there are so many good, beautiful things that God made that cause us to feel small in the best kind of way. Standing on the sand at the ocean and looking out onto the water, or looking up at the stars at night, I feel so small, but I like it that way. And I think that's the type of small that we need, that has helped me so much. It's kind of smallness in the presence of creation. That reminds me, that is how I was meant to feel small, in the presence of God, not in these ways of feeling humiliated or like I'm not measuring up.
Mm, good, good word. Okay, how about this one, the longing to build something important?
Oh, man. I just think that, especially in this world of the online stuff, sometimes I just feel like there's people, everything moves so fast. Everything is moving so fast. I have learned, for me, a grounding metaphor for me has been a couple of benches in our cul-de-sac we have. And I noticed these benches out there, when we first moved in, and our in-laws live next door, my brother-in-law and his kids, and then we live just two doors down, and our kids often play together. We have a couple of benches in the cul-de-sac that we put there to make it easier, so we wouldn't always have to pull out blankets and lawn chairs. And so one day, shortly after we put those benches out, a couple of our neighbors came out. I noticed they came out and met at the benches, almost like they had called one another to meet there at a certain time. And these neighbors are in their 80s. They don't usually stand outside in the cul-de-sac with us and talk. But now that we have benches, everything was different. I ran out there to chat with them for a little bit, just to kind of say hi. And they were talking about the most normal, everyday kind of Tuesday stuff. It wasn't anything like changing the world. But I noticed they stayed out there for over an hour. And when I saw them do that, something in my soul just sort of shifted, because I think at the time I might have been writing a book. And you know how it is when you're working on a big project, it feels like you're building something, and there's nothing wrong with building something, but it's all in the motivation. As I watched them out there on those benches, I thought, huh, they're out there on those benches. They're not solving the world's problems. They're simply being together, talking about regular everyday things, that's what my writing, that's what my work can be for people. It's not that I'm inventing something brand new that's never been done. I don't have to be the best that they can be. I don't have to solve, you know, unsolvable problems. I think most times people just want regular. They don't need fancy. These benches were regular. And so I thought when it comes to my life and my work, my relationships, and even the level of my own soul and the plans I make for my future, what might it look like for me to, instead of build a ladder to climb higher and grow bigger, what might it look like instead for me to take that wood and build a bench?
I love that. I mean, really, to use that analogy, it's just finding a place for people to land, you know, a place for people to rest, for people to meet. I mean, I think about that. Maybe you've got the gift of hospitality and you've got people coming over and they gather around your table. You know, you just think about whatever God has called you to do and think about a way for people to land and for you use your gifts and you encourage people. Emily, I think that's just beautiful. And the other final point in this packed paragraph is this one. And you touched on this, but I really would love for you to say a little bit more. The disappointment when the outcome looks different than you thought it would, because this is where we lose heart. This is where sometimes our faith feels weakened, because we thought we started out with a vision which guaranteed a certain outcome. And when that doesn't happen, we doubt the whole investment. What do you say?
Well, I think that comes from a lot of times in the church, we will say about something that's growing and getting big, we will say, God, it's really blessing your ministry. God is really blessing your work. Look how successful it's been. But if something's not growing, or maybe not very many people came, or maybe and nobody was interested at all, and it kind of ended and fizzled out, we might say, well, maybe you just didn't hear God right, or maybe you didn't have enough faith. And I just think that's plain wrong. Sometimes acting in faith, that is the success. Walking forward into the future with Jesus by my side, that is success. It's hard to measure that, because if no one showed up, then it was a failure. And maybe that thing, maybe there's something that I needed within my own soul, in my relationship with Christ privately, that I needed that I couldn't have gotten any other way had I not taken that simple step forward with my friend Jesus into the next ordinary moment and done what he said to do, no matter the outcome. That is hard to separate, the movement from the outcome. That's something I struggle with daily.
And to think about that, how Jesus met people on the road in his day when he walked the earth, he meets us in the same way. And he calls us to that kind of intimacy. But if we tie our identity to outcomes, there is a mixed motive in the way that we serve him. And is it enough just to do it for him? Is it enough to let him decide how that story goes? Talking to Emily Freeman, we've got one more segment with her. We're going to talk more about how to really cease our striving, know that he is God, so we can embrace the grace in our everyday moments. God bless you. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to Emily Freeman today. The brand new book out she's got titled Simply Tuesday, Small Moment Living in a Fast-Moving World. You ask a very thought-provoking question that I'd love for you to even unpack a bit more if you would, Emily. You write this: what part of your personality seems to fight against your own perceived ability to succeed? I want to say that again for the friends listening today. What part of your personality seems to fight against your own perceived ability to succeed? Say more.
Well, Susie, I am a slow processor, and sometimes I feel like my inability to think quick and to come up with a fast decision keeps me from sometimes opportunities. Sometimes the opportunity comes quick and it goes quick, and if I don't pounce on it, then I miss out. And sometimes I feel like that gets in the way. But something that helps me, some words that a friend of mine, Wes Stafford, who was one of the who's the president, former president of Compassion International. I had the privilege of traveling with a small group of bloggers last year to Uganda, and Wes Stafford came along with us on that trip. And he, if anyone loves children well, it's him. It's just remarkable, some of the things that he says and his perspective on the littlest ones in the world. But one thing that he says is, he says, so far as we see in the Gospels and reading the Gospels, Jesus never admonished children to become more grown up. He did, however, exhort grown-ups to become more like little children. And when I think about that in my own life, and I think about the way I sometimes berate myself for my personality or for the ways that I wish I could just get it together, that's my grown-up self talking. That's not the voice of God. And so to embrace my childlikeness in his presence, sometimes that's going to look messy. Sometimes that's going to look like me being willing to follow the agenda of someone else. Sometimes that's going to look like me trusting, even though I have questions, but still trusting. And sometimes that's hard because grown-ups like to know all the answers and like to know where we're headed. But in the kingdom of God, that's not always a choice. And another thing about little children is, you know, they believe the words they hear. And so when my father says words about me in scripture, for me to simply and fully believe that they're true, and that's something that that's the small moments of my everyday life, that's where believing those words are true is really the most important places, in those small moments, so that I can move into the lives of other people knowing who I am and whose I am and who I belong to.
Love this. I got to read this because I think this will be just healing balm for somebody's wounded soul. This is from Emily Freeman's book, Simply Tuesday. What might happen if you stopped bullying your personality into submission and instead began to welcome it as a kind friend? So here's to you, my fellow slow processors. Take the long way home. Embrace the silence to consider. Give yourself permission to think, to listen, to be sure. Here's to waiting before we move, pausing before we speak, and taking a week to cross off everything off our day list. Here's to trusting that we're made on purpose and that our natural hesitations may be our greatest gifts rather than our liabilities. Here's to believing we have something to offer, but that doesn't mean we have to offer it in the ways the world tells us we must. I just got to read a few more because I think this will bless you. Here's to giving ourselves permission to bring our gifts into the presence of God, knowing he will bring them out of us in his own timing, in his own way. Here's to remembering our job isn't to manufacture success. Here's to seeing the work of our peers, our sisters, our brothers, and our coworkers, and celebrating their accomplishments, their awards, and their beauty. Here's to knowing their success does not take one thing away from us. That is a key one, Emily, because we can't really love people, as you say, if we're competing with them, being jealous of them. And explain that even from heaven's point of view, why somebody else's success doesn't take one thing away from you.
You know, I've often heard Lisa Turkhurst talk about if you long for something someone else has, you have to take the good along with the bad. And so many times we see the success and we see like the island, but we don't see all the land underneath it, or the top of the iceberg, but we don't see how deep it really goes. And so comparing is, it's really not even an accurate thing, even if two things look alike, like I've done this and she's done this, it's the same thing, but she's been so much more successful than I have. You can't, unless you're like the exact clone of the person, you just can't compare that way. Sometimes I forget that. But man, I am learning to embrace those parts of my personality that I often have in the past despised, because I realized that it's the very things, it's the very places where the image of God is displayed through the unique filter of my personality in a way that it won't be displayed through someone else's, because they've got a different personality. And so instead of fighting so much against that, knowing what it means to learning to accept this is how I am a slow processor, but you know what? There are gifts in that too, because that means when I finally do embrace an idea, when I finally do make a decision, the roots will go down deep and my bent over question marks will turn into straight up exclamation points, and I will feel confident about that decision. And you know, it might take some time, but that's okay, because some things require time. So just recognizing that it really doesn't make sense to compare two things that look alike, because they might look alike on the outside, but in reality, we're also very different.
So, Emily, how have things changed for you in your perspective of God, of yourself, of the work that you do, as you've learned to be maybe kinder to your soul?
Well, I'll tell you, when I recognize small moments, and I recognize them more, that happen in my everyday life. And it's not just the wink across the room or the kind note that someone sends you, although those are beautiful small moments. But a lot of times it's those small moments of rejection or of someone overlooking me or my opinion. It's small moments of boredom or feeling like maybe I've wasted my time today. Little things that usually add up to something bigger. That has been the biggest change for me, because I am, this whole process of writing this book and of thinking about what does it mean to celebrate my smallness has really started to transform me from the inside out, because I've not only recognized those small moments, but I'm beginning to push through them and see how Christ often hangs out just on the other side of them. And it's been a really sweet, simple communion with him in those moments of learning, you know what, I just felt rejected. And in the past, 5 years ago, I may have let that fester and grow into what I call, that might have been a footnote, but I let it grow into a headline, something that becomes a bigger deal than it needs to be. But recognizing the small moments and Christ within me is helping me to see those moments when they come, to walk with him through it, and to recognize my communion with him is sweeter when I embrace those moments rather than try to run fast away and build something else.
Wow, so, so good. Well, you also have a powerful section in the book about September 11th, 2001, which also happened to be a Tuesday. Tell us about that day from your perspective and how it even ties in to this message.
Well, I, you know, like most people, I wasn't there. I wasn't there that day, but that day was a beautiful day. And I was, we didn't have kids yet, but I worked as a sign language interpreter. I went into work early. It just felt like it was going to be a lovely day. The sky was bright blue and beautiful. And I heard on the radio, like so many people, that they thought a small plane had flown into a tower. And it was just like just a little tiny footnote of a thing. It wasn't a big deal. But as you know, as the day went on, we all learned along with the world that this was actually a tragic, terrible day in our history. And so many people had lost their lives. And I realized that so many times we're going along on a Tuesday and what seems like not a big deal, this is not a big thing, they often turn into really big moments of disappointment, of disaster, of tragedy, of discouragement. And so what does small moment living mean when we are confronted with such deep, deep disappointment? And, you know, part of what I am learning is walking by faith means being willing not to know, being willing never to know how things happen, why things happen the way that I do, and being willing to release my tight hold on the outcome that I thought would be. Sometimes I long for clarity in those situations when things are so hard and devastating, and I'm learning that Jesus often doesn't necessarily show me the way, but instead he wants to be the way on my behalf, and he invites me into his presence, into his life, rather than showing me why or explaining something to me, especially in those times that are so confusing. It can be hard to understand and to embrace those things.
Yes, and there, you know, in this world we will have trouble, we'll have trials, but he says, you know, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And, you know, as we're on this pilgrimage all the way home, we're going to have those days where things don't make sense. And I think when you cultivate a lifestyle of walking intimately with God, I think it's just more instinctive to stand on his truth when the lights have gone out, you know. And boy, this has been a sweet time, Emily. Wondering if you pray for that person who's been held hostage by the hustle and whom God is inviting to that secret place to rest a while. Would you pray for that person?
Father, thank you for these moments. Thank you that you meet us in the midst of our everyday Tuesdays. And I pray for the person listening who feels like their soul is shaking from the inside. I pray that you would show up, that you would be a kind companion to a weary soul. Thank you, Father, for all the ways you invite us to celebrate our smallness in your presence. And we thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Emily, always enjoy talking with you. Thanks so much for giving us your time today.
It's been my pleasure.
I love it. The title of her book again is Simply Tuesday, Small Moment Living in a Fast-Moving World. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.